beauty of the Dan Patrick Show is that it's not only available for 3 hours every weekday morning. It's available anytime.
YouTube.com/The Dan Patrick Show.
You could even bring it up on your phone while you're parked outside a house in a Connecticut suburban neighborhood.
Shh.
Waiting for Todd.
Don't say anything.
Somebody to go to sleep.
Isn't anyone bothered that this is stupid?
What are you talking about today?
Don't make me say the argument. You're going to make me be the guy.
Dan Patrick.
Welcome to the world of a man we call McLovin, cooking up his hot takes inside of an irrational oven. Some might call him contrarian. We call him a hater. If you don't win on his terms, he's the great invalidator. It don't count.
When did you become a hater?
McLovin says that it don't count.
Anybody could have gotten out of the East.
Do it better next time.
Who is good in your world?
You probably did it in a system.
Typical.
Joe Montana and Tom Brady, they're both system quarterbacks.
Broadcasting from the Mercedes Man Cave.
The most important person in this dynasty of the Golden State Warriors is who?
Joe Lacob.
You're saying Steph Curry's the best player in the world?
Yes. By the way, Embiid, totally top five player.
If I said you can have Zion or you can have Luka right now.
Zion.
Oh my God, did he just say that?
This is Dan Patrick.
Yes, he did.
Somehow made it to a Friday, a meat Friday at that. We got wings on the Traeger. Come on in, stay a while. Reggie Miller will join us from the bubble coming up in about 15 minutes. Talk some college football. Also, the PGA getting underway yesterday. We'll recap. Got a little tiff going on between Ohio State and Michigan. Jim Harbaugh and Ryan Day have that for you coming up as well. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at DP Show. Say good morning to our radio friends and also our TV friends on youtube.com/The Dan Patrick Show. Competition level in the NBA bubble started out pretty high. And some of the games are still pretty good, and you got a lot of scoring. Starting to see some teams rest some starters here, like the Lakers did last night with LeBron. And I don't want to hear any complaints. These are the last four games of the regular season. Nobody watches the last four games of a regular season during a normal year. We're just noticing it because it's the bubble and it's the Lakers. But if you're a Laker fan, you're probably saying, we don't need to have LeBron out there. The Bucks, you know, Bucks fans probably don't want the Greek Freak out there either, although he looked great last night. Lakers and Bucks are the favorites, but teams like the Clippers and Raptors are right behind them. And you have a bit of an unknown right now, because people are looking at Portland, and could they be a spoiler here? Could the Rockets be a spoiler here? What about Denver? So there's a few teams we're not quite sure of, but we put a question mark by just how great they'll be if they get into the postseason. And by that, I mean Portland, because Portland had 45 from Damian Lillard last night. They're a half game out, and Memphis is limping to the finish line. The Pelicans got a great night out of Zion, but they lost their game as well. So it looks like Portland is going to be your team. I watched Phoenix against Indiana, and they had two of the more interesting runs that I've ever seen in an NBA game. They went on a 21-0 run and a 17-0 run. They went on to win despite shooting 9 of 34 from three-point range. Phoenix is now 4-0 in the bubble. I don't know what it means, but they're 4-0 in the bubble. But we have a couple of meaningless games coming up for the most part. And I know I talked about this yesterday. Everybody's talking about it today, and that is the Lakers offense. Now, the Lakers offense, unlike most of the other teams, has not been consistent, has not been explosive. We've seen some moments where LeBron goes off. We've seen some moments where Anthony Davis goes off. I don't think that they're concerned about the first round, because the teams they would be playing in the first round are not good defensive teams. But it can show, probably will show, when you get into the second round. Because if you're getting into the second or third round, chances are you can play a little bit of defense. And I think that's when it might emerge that the Lakers have some issues here. You know, their backcourt, they're not quite sure. You know, when you lose two players like Rondo and Avery Bradley, that just affects your rotations. And they do have a good bench. I have to admit, Deion Waiters has played well. Kuzma, Caruso. the question is, are you going to put one of those guys in the starting lineup here to get more offense? That'll be what I'm looking for as we get closer to the start of the postseason or once we start that opening round. But Reggie Miller will join us coming up in a little bit. I mentioned the little tiff between Jim Harbaugh, the head coach at Michigan, and Ryan Day. He's the head coach at Ohio State. There was a Big Ten coaches news conference yesterday. It was a conference call. And Jim Harbaugh reportedly interrupted Ohio State's Ryan Day and accused him of breaking rules regarding on-field instruction. Harbaugh asked Day about a photo that reportedly showed the Buckeyes assistant coach Al Washington working out the Ohio State linebackers. Now, NCAA rules don't permit on-field instructions until today. So Day fired back, how about I worry about my team and you worry about yours? Then Ohio State had a team meeting on Monday, and according to Bucknuts...
Excuse me, is that a website or a person?
That's a website. Bucknuts. Day purportedly told his players that the Wolverines better hope there's a mercy rule this season because, quote, gonna hang 100 on them. There is no mercy rule, by the way, in college football. When ESPN asked Day about the reported incidents during a Zoom meeting on Thursday, he declined to comment. I appreciate the question, but I'd rather not answer that right now. Well, I was in Columbus 2 years ago when they probably could have put a hundy on them. I think they put, 63 on them? And they could have easily scored 80 that day against them. And here we are going to be in Columbus if they play. Now, they moved it up a month. It was going to be, it's usually Thanksgiving weekend. Oh, boy. I would just go to tailgate and listen to the game outside. I mean, it's such a great atmosphere, certainly for that game and in Columbus and even Ann Arbor. But just to be able to go and listen, well, there's not going to be any fans there, so I don't know what I'd be listening for. But just to have that atmosphere there, looks like it'll be really, really spicy between those two. And if you're Harbaugh, this is what Harbaugh does. He doesn't win big games at Michigan, but he's pretty good in August. Harbaugh might be undefeated in the spring and in August. But we get to the regular season, there's a couple problems there. Yes, Seton O'Connor.
Yeah, if only he could translate that winning to actual games against Ohio State, then he'd really have something.
So that conference call was on Monday, and then they followed up with Ryan Day yesterday, and he didn't want to talk about it. How does somebody not have any audio of that? Now, this is a conference call with the coaches, but is the media's listening into this? The Big Ten has got to release this. Give us something here. We might not have football. This might be as close as we get to football here. How does somebody not record this? Yes, Todd.
Why wouldn't they want the media to record it so that they get quotes correct? A lot of times, just if you're going to a classroom or wherever you are, you're recording just so you can play it back and make sure you've got it exactly right.
I don't know. I thought that this would be something that the media is able to record and then you can distribute, or that the Big Ten would record and then distribute. All right. Pat 40 from Yahoo Sports, Sports Illustrated. Every conference is now prepared for a player movement and likely will have a quick response. They all see it as a matter of when it happens in their league, not if. There's a Mountain West player movement going on. I mentioned a couple of days ago that the source said you're going to see smaller conferences, smaller schools. They're going to opt for the spring. And you're starting to see a few more of those situations there. Few more players that are opting out. You've got a couple of first rounders, potential first rounders, maybe a lottery pick out of Miami, out of the U, a defensive lineman. Is that Rousseau, McLovin?
Yes, like the philosopher.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, thanks for that. Well, he's probably a top 10 pick in mock drafts right now, and he's going to opt out. I think you'll probably see a few more of these linemen interior linemen who are going to opt out. You have the player at Purdue, Rondale Moore. He was great his freshman year, and he's pretty much the face of Purdue football. He was injured last year. He's going to opt out as well. And that doesn't mean you can't opt back in. You don't have a deadline like you have with the NFL. But you're going to have some of these players, they're going to be maybe juniors, and they're going to go, should I continue to do this? Maybe I can get paid. May I sign with an agent if I'm going to be a first or second round pick? Maybe I can get paid. Maybe I can just concentrate on getting ready for the combine and the NFL draft. You might start to see a few more of those players. Yes, McLovin.
Does the NFL hold it against any of these players if they don't play? Could it actually hurt their draft status?
I think it depends on how good you are. It didn't hurt Nick Bosa. It didn't hurt Christian McCaffrey of sitting out a bowl game. Didn't Leonard Fournette sit out a bowl game as well?
Yeah, a lot of guys.
Yeah. I mean, it's different for just a bowl game, but Nick Bosa shut it down. And, you know, Ohio State was fortunate that you have Chase Young, but, you know, that caught a lot of people's attention where you're like, wow, he's not going to try to come back at all. And this is a team that was going to play for a national championship. And he was a captain. Like, that was what was surprising about that. But nothing is going to surprise me now. And you're going to remember when Oklahoma moved up their season opener? They wanted to go a week earlier. They just want to get started, because I think that's the real fear, that college football is not going to get started. It feels like if you get started, then it'll be harder to shut it down. And, you know, is that the philosophy that Oklahoma had? Maybe. Let's just get going. And then we'll see what the collateral damage is from week to week as we move forward here. But you're starting to see some of these conferences, they're moving games back. You want to have this window of opportunity that you want to get the games in. You'd love to have them over by Thanksgiving. And then you don't have, you know, students won't be on campus then. They'll go home for, you know, the winter break. And maybe you'll be playing in a conference championship game. Maybe you'll be playing in the playoffs. You know, you're seeing the playoffs in Division II and III. They're canceled. I don't know if you're going to have that in FCS. But right now, it just feels like this is a moment-to-moment, day-to-day, almost hour-to-hour with college football. We'll talk to Pat Forty. He'll join us coming up in a little bit. Yes, Paulie.
Oklahoma felt like a bunch of guys painting the house before a rainstorm. Like, they're just trying to slap it together, get it done before the big cloud comes in. That was their move. It was. I see what they're going for.
Yeah. I don't know if it's going to work. I don't know. But, you know, this could be just a conference by conference. What are you going to do? I don't know. What are you going to do? All right, we're going to try to play here. I don't know if you're going to have many other schools that are going to follow the UConn model, because, you know, keep this in mind with Connecticut. Randy Edsall yesterday was very good, very open. A lot of people on social media saw that and reacted to it. Do I think the bottom line is the safety of those players? I'm going to say no. I think the bottom line is money. I think you have to factor in those players and their safety and their opinion. But I think this was, Connecticut was going to lose money if they played football this year or tried. Plus, they're an independent, and they lost their marquee games. You know, they had a couple of games with the ACC, a couple of games, I think, with the Big Ten, and they're an independent. And they shouldn't be in FBS anymore. They should drop down to FCS. They're not a big money-making program there. And while I appreciated Coach Edsall coming on and saying, you know, they listened to his players, I hope he did. I hope all of these coaches do, because they deserve to have a voice here. They don't have a union. And coaches can go through the motions and say, hey, you know, we took the temperature. We talked to our captains or whatever it might be. I hope that they get a voice. They get a chair at the table where they can at least express concerns that they might have. Can you opt out and still keep your scholarship? I'm assuming that the Connecticut football players not playing this year, they keep their scholarship. They didn't opt out. The school basically did. But what about these other kids around the country? Can you still keep your scholarship? Yeah, McLovin.
This is kind of a question for all of you. Why can't UConn be good at football? They have a great stadium. they were like in the Fiesta Bowl like 8 years ago. They obviously have the capability. Why don't they rev it up and be good instead of going down?
Well, they're an independent. I think they rolled the dice, thought they were going to get into the ACC or, you know, some bigger conference would take them. They were in the Big East, but, you know, you're on an island. Notre Dame can survive on an island. Connecticut cannot. It's just not that that program has been going down, it feels like, every single year. And, you know, can you recruit there? Who are you recruiting against? And it's a basketball school as well. All right, we'll come up with a poll question, right, McLovin?
Yeah, I mean, I have one I want to put out there. You might think this is the wrong question to ask, but...
Why don't you hold off?
Okay.
Because we'll take a break. Reggie Miller will join us from the bubble, and I'll ask him, got any suggestions on what the Lakers might do to get that offense looking a little more formidable? It's 15 after the hour. This is the Dan Patrick Show. Full Sail University, we've launched the Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting. You get your bachelor's degree in sportscasting, teaching you all aspects of broadcasting, sportscasting from in front of the camera, behind the camera, podcasting, radio, and everything in between. How to write, how to interview, all of these things that when you come out of the school, you're ready to go. It's plug and play because I want you to have a job, not an internship, a job. And there's so many things to love about Full Sail. The approach to education, they have hands-on learning. The faculty that we have is second to none. They have real-world experience, and they prepare you for what life is like in the industry because they have been in the industry for decades. At Full Sail, you earn your bachelor's degree in about half the time, as short as 20 months, and you could choose to earn your degree online or on Full Sail's campus in Orlando, Florida. Learn more about the Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting. Go to fullsail.edu/Dan Patrick.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It's rare when I'm the second best shooter on the show. It only happens occasionally. It certainly happens right now because Reggie Miller is on the program. Reggie called the Heat and the Bucks game, the Lakers Rockets, and tonight, Celtics Raptors at 9 Eastern. Good morning, Reg. How are you?
I'm great, Theodore. Good morning. And I would put us as equals.
No, that's not true. No.
Hey, you're up there with me.
No. Do you realize, I don't know if I ever told you this story, when we had Ray Allen in studio?
No.
Okay. So I'm watching Ray shoot in the man cave. And I said, hey, the ball is resting on the palm of your hand, Ray. So I'm critiquing. So one of the top 10 shooters in the history of mankind. I'm going.
You can put him in top five. Ray's top five.
Okay.
Ray. Yeah.
The look he had on his face. Yes, Eaton.
I believe the exact quote when you first talked to him was, you know, you're doing that wrong.
Oh, no.
Like, what, dude?
I don't know what made me say it, but, you know, you shoot with your fingertips. He had it on his palm. And he goes, like, what are you talking about? I said, I should be able to put my finger underneath between the ball and your hand. Am I right with that, Reg?
You're right with that,
but it goes
to show you that shooting are like fingerprints. Everyone is totally different, and everyone has different release points. My elbow is out when I shot. Ray has textbook form with his elbow being in. So everyone is different, but the fact that you would correct the all-time leader in three-pointers made in the NBA, it's why you're Theodore, though.
I don't lack confidence when it comes to shooting.
No, you do not.
But, and you're right. You know, you have your elbow out, and I remember when I was shooting, and we had a basketball hoop at the Super Bowl in Indianapolis, and Larry Bird was watching, and Larry came on, and he said, your elbow, it's out. And he was critiquing my shot because my elbow was out just like yours. So, all right. Yeah, just letting you know.
Hey, does the ball go in?
Yeah, exactly.
It goes in. Yeah. That's all that matters.
Do you realize I'm still trying to perfect my shot at my age with nothing to play for? Are you? Do you do that?
I do when I do. It's like golf. You know, even professional golfers still take lessons and they still critique themselves. And I think shooting and playing the game of basketball is a lot like golf because there is no such thing as perfection. And it's interesting because when I was calling the Lakers games last night, because their offense right now, it's like been on hiatus. It has not found its way to the bubble yet.
Yeah.
And they were playing so great up to that point. And they're shooting, if you look at their numbers, I believe we mentioned it, over their last two games, they're like 6-for-50 from three. And you're wondering, is it legs? Do they have, are they tired? Their offense does not seem to be in sync. And this is with LeBron. I know LeBron didn't play last night, but two nights ago versus OKC, he played.
But how concerned would you be if you're a Laker fan right now?
I said this on air last night. I understand they have the number one seed in the West, and they are trying different things and trying to figure out. But you've got to have some type of rhythm going into the playoffs. And everyone is in a unique situation here where I wouldn't be as concerned if they were playing in Staples in front of 20,000 fans. And you get that energy and you get a little pumped up. You are in a unique environment where home court will not matter. And if you don't have a great rhythm starting the playoffs on August 17th, to me, that's the only thing that's a little unsettling, is because they don't have a rhythm yet offensively. The only team in the bubble, the Lakers, with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, that are not averaging 100 points. Yeah. With those two great players, it's a little concerning for me.
Everybody is scoring in the bubble, except for the Lakers. But is there a reason why everybody is, let's take the Lakers out of the equation. Why is it that scoring is up so high?
I think the big thing is teams are manufacturing their own energy. And there's less pressure on some teams because usually in their home court advantage, like for instance, Philadelphia before Ben Simmons got injured, every time he caught the ball at home in Philly, everyone wanted him to shoot threes. The crowd would gasp. There's pressure playing in certain environments and situations. In the bubble, there's no fans. There's no degree of pressure. It's really who wants it more. And I think you're seeing, especially some of the elite guys like a Devin Booker, it doesn't matter if he's playing in front of 20,000 or two people, put on absolute shows. TJ Warren, these guys have got a new lease on their games because they're just going out and playing. And I think that's why scoring and shooting is up, because more guys and teams are playing more free and open.
I don't know if you heard this. It was like a throwaway line from LeBron where he talked about something off the court. But he said, I don't want to get into that now. I think this might have been after the game that he had the quote. I don't know what he's alluding to here, but just the fact that he mentions it, now my curiosity is piqued of, wait, what is bothering him so much so that he would bring it up during a press conference or kind of bring it up there? I don't know if you heard that comment from him.
I didn't hear, but let's remember now, there's so much going on. We're in the middle, obviously, of a pandemic. These players still want to have their voices heard in terms of social justice. So there's still things surrounding and affecting these guys while they're in the bubble. So, you don't know if he's alluding to something off the court in terms of his activism, or if he's talking about something internally that's going on with the team.
Yeah.
It's hard to get a gauge on what's going on with the Lakers or LeBron. But, yeah, I mean, I'm sure that's a red flag comment coming from LeBron, who sat out last night with a little bit of a growing issue.
If you had to bet a week's pay on the Lakers or Clippers right now, today.
I'm going with the Clippers.
Yeah.
I just think they're deep. How they play the game in terms of their length. You know, they got Lou Williams back. I know Beverly didn't play last night, but to me, they are the favorites to win the West because of that depth. And they've got two guys in Kawhi Leonard and Paul George who can dictate the outcome of a game at both ends of the floor. And both are young, both have experience in the playoffs, well coached by Doc Rivers, who's won a championship. I personally would lean toward, especially after looking at the offense, you know, for the Lakers, I'm leaning towards the Clippers in this type of environment.
Third best team in the West is who?
I would probably go with, you know, I want to put Denver in there, but they've had so many injuries and they don't have their starting lineup. Though the way Michael Porter Jr. is playing, and they still have Jokic, who looks great. You know, OKC, people are not giving Chris Paul enough credit for, you know, everyone thought it was going to be a pit stop for him this year. And he has Oklahoma City playing at a very high level. In terms of, you know, scary teams, I've got to put the Houston Rockets in there in this looking at them last night. If they are making shots, look, they're going to get killed on the boards. We've seen that. They're getting out-rebounded by 20 a game. But if they can turn you over, which we've seen, and they can get out in transition, and they've got two guys that flat-out put pressure on you offensively on every possession in Harden and Westbrook, I would probably have to say the Rockets are probably the most scary team because of the unpredictability of what they bring with that 6-7 lineup and being able to switch everything. And PJ Tucker defensively, what he did last night versus Anthony Davis was phenomenal at the defensive end.
Reggie called the Heat and Bucks last night along with the Lakers and Rockets. Tonight it's Celtics and Raptors. That's 9 Eastern on TNT. Here's the exact quote from LeBron. He said, "It's just some things that you can't control that's here that I really don't want to talk about. That's off the floor." So I don't know what he's alluding to. I'm assuming that has to do with something internally with his team, maybe not in his personal life. Maybe he's sending a message to somebody on his team. I don't know. Kind of cryptic.
It is, but it raises more red flags because when LeBron speaks, obviously everyone listens. And that's a loaded, that's a loaded answer to a question right there. And you know more people are going to probe and try to find out what is going on with the Lakers, especially just by gauging the way they're playing.
The last couple of days, we've had some people comparing a couple of players to Larry Bird. Greg Popovich said Jokic reminds him of Larry Bird because he does everything. And then you've got a few people comparing Luka to Larry Bird here. Pretty high praise for these two players. Of those two, who's more like Larry Bird, in your opinion?
Luka. Okay. I love Coach Popovich, arguably one of my favorite coaches in the league. Both are talented in Jokic and Luka, but in terms of Larry Bird was a straight assassin scorer. He would put 35 on you in a half. I don't think, and he had that killer instinct. Luka more has that killer instinct offensively and can pass the basketball. He just doesn't have the size. Larry was a true 6'9", a big, long 6'9". 7 foot is the Joker, and he doesn't have that killer instinct offensively. He can score, but he's not trying to come in each and every night and embarrass you. Luka tries to embarrass you, I think. So in terms of who's closer to Larry Bird, in my opinion, it would be Luka Doncic.
And watching the game with the Clippers and the Mavs, and while Porzingis and Luka had good games there, there was something that was interesting, and that was Kawhi all of a sudden went into playoff Kawhi mode.
Yeah.
And wow. Like it's tangible. You're watching it and you go, "Uh-oh." And then he said afterwards like he's getting locked in. And you know, he doesn't say much. I don't know much about him, but that was a look, or there was a feel to the game. And I know it's the Mavs. But I saw something that is I rarely see, where you see somebody go, I'm going to flip a switch. Now I'm a different player, a different person. And Kawhi was like that last night.
And to your point, when you just asked me Lakers or Clippers, and then you tell me about the quote from LeBron, something's going on possibly internally with my team. And on the flip side, you hear the Clippers and Kawhi saying, I'm getting locked in, right?
Yeah, so I know.
It's two different things. And Kawhi, when we talk about being able to affect the game at both ends, look, Luka is a fantastic young player, but Kawhi Leonard looks at that as a challenge, right? And they potentially could face in the first round. I believe Dallas is currently in the seventh spot and the Clippers in the second spot. So this is a potential first round matchup. And you've got Kawhi and Paul George saying, oh, okay, well, we're going to give you something to think about in about 10 days when we see you. And I think they're trying to send a message.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure this out, though. And it feels like the Clippers are just quiet. They don't want to make any headlines unless they go to a strip club. They just want to go. They're just waiting. Where, you know, everybody focuses on the Lakers. Either good or bad, they're the focus. That now they're shooting. Now they're offense. Now this is a big deal as, you know, we end up with the regular season. Clippers are just, they're approaching it the right way from the standpoint of not saying anything. They got a deep roster there, got a great coach. And you got one guy who's done it before a couple of times. That value of having a player who's done it. And those other Clippers players are going, he can do it. Like, I'm waiting for Paul George to be a big-time player. I'm waiting for that, just like I am Anthony Davis. Those are the two guys that I want to see. So I think which one of those two steps up in a bigger way might decide who wins between the Lakers and the Clippers. I think that much of Anthony Davis' ability to be able to dominate. What do you think?
Well, Theodore, look, this is Doc Rivers' slogan coming in to the restart. Win the wait. And right now, and rightfully so, the pressure should be on the Lakers. You know, you go out and get LeBron James, generational type player. You add Anthony Davis. They have the championship. They have the Hall of Famers. They have all the banners hanging in Staples. For so many years, the Clippers have been, you know, the little brother. So there's less pressure on them, and I think they're approaching this the right way. That's why all the pressure is on Anthony Davis. You know, you've been first team All-NBA. You're in line for Defensive Player of the Year this year. But you played in New Orleans. You wanted out. You got out. You came to the mega-hot Los Angeles Lakers. We mentioned all the Hall of Famers, centers, and power forwards that have played in this organization. So the lights are a little bit brighter now. It's time to shine. You can't come out and take, what, seven shots and have, you know, 9 points, and then the next game you come out and have 40. The consistency has to be there for AD. And for the flip side, for the Clippers, remember, Paul George was runner-up MVP last year while his time in OKC. Now he's had to take a back seat coming to the Clippers because you've got a guy who's won two finals MVP in Kawhi Leonard. But I like the chances of the Clippers because of that length and what they can do at the defensive end with all those perimeter players, Theodore.
Every time I watch the Pelicans, I go back to a comment you made that Brandon Ingram wasn't a big city guy, that he needed to get out of L.A. and that New Orleans was perfect for him. Lonzo Ball had to get away from his dad and the whole pressure there. And, you know, that it feels like he is – like, these guys were able to exhale. It felt like they got there. But look at this lineup here and what the Pelicans have as they move forward. If you look at the nucleus, would you be confident that this is a perennial playoff team in what you have in New Orleans? And if not, what do they have to have?
Well, is Zion going to be healthy and play 32 to 36 minutes a game?
Do you think he can do that, Reg? Because
he hasn't showed it, right?
I don't know if he's – I think he's great, but I don't know if he's – there was an article yesterday, a doctor said he's in a race against his body of, you know, as big as he is he always going to be this explosive? And then what do you rely on when you're not that explosive? And he's going to get bigger, so I don't know.
I hope he doesn't get bigger. Because, look, I love the strength and the power that he plays with. Don't get me wrong. But I personally believe he is too heavy to be playing this. And I think that's why they have kid gloves on them right now.
Yeah.
I think they're managing his minutes because they don't want a major injury, because I believe he is too heavy. He needs to shed, you know, they kept saying, you know, during the 4.5 months, he put on, you know, 10 pounds of muscle. He doesn't need muscle. He needs to be a little bit leaner. So those joint, the knees and the lower back, there's not so much pressure on there. So I hope going forward, if they're going to manage his minutes, they need to manage his food intake, because he needs to take off 15, 20, 25 pounds if he wants to play 32 to 36 minutes and play 70 to 82 games next season, which they're hoping for, the league is hoping for.
Yeah.
But he needs to lose weight.
But do you remember facing a young Charles Barkley when he, you know, he was the
Mm-hmm. I do.
The round mound of rebound. Yeah.
But did you see how Charles moved when his early days in Philadelphia? It's a lot like a Zion. I think Zion was probably a little bit more powerful, especially in his finishes and his dunks. But Charles never got hurt. And he was able even extend his career by losing weight the older he got.
Yeah.
I just think Zion, he looks a little heavy to me.
Oh, he is heavy, but he's putting up like a point per minute when he does play. So it's
play him then.
I know.
Play him.
I know.
Reg has got Celtics Raptors. So you're doing that game tonight?
I'm doing Toronto Boston.
Okay, my Raptors.
Everyone keeps talking about, what did I say last week when you asked me the?
No, I know.
The team? And what have they done so far? They're undefeated here in the bubble, and they're taking names. And
I know.
A scary team.
Yes, they are. He's Reggie Miller. He'll be on the call tonight. Reg, good to talk to you. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you at some point next week.
Thank you, Theodore. Thank you, my Danettes.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Brooks Koepka might be the guy to beat at the PGA Championship, but it's hard to beat the story that Alex Noel is going to tell you about. He's a PGA professional. He's a high school golf coach. He's a math teacher. And he got invited to play in the PGA Championship, and yesterday shot a 7-over-77. And Alex joins us from San Francisco. How are you, Alex?
Great, Dan. Thanks for having me. This is so cool.
Okay. Just give people an idea. You're from Pennsylvania, and you're a math teacher there. You're the high school coach. And when do you find out that you're going to be playing in the PGA Championship?
So it goes back to mid-March. I'm actually given a lesson, and I get an email that they canceled our PGA Club Professional Championship, which was supposed to be in Austin, Texas, but that got canceled at the time due to COVID. And there was a link at the bottom of the email just saying top 20 on last year's national points list gets invited. Well, I guess for some reason I clicked that link because I'm like, oh, I'd like to see who are the lucky 20. And I opened the email. I'm in 11th place. I'm like, how the hell am I in this golf club? So it said, though, if they don't reschedule the PGA, and if it's still held in May, I'm in the event. So right away, screenshot it, send it to my parents, send it to all my friends. I'm in the PGA. Next morning, they postponed the PGA. I'm like, oh, boy, here we go. So the rest of the summer, we're waiting to see if they're going to reschedule the club pro back into Austin, Texas. They eventually did. And by the end of June, it just, Austin was not a place to have a golf tournament with 300 guys coming in. So then they postponed and eventually canceled that again. And I was officially in the field about 3.5 weeks ago.
How much golf have you been playing?
Actually, way too much. As a club pro, we play minimally. So I've been playing probably 4 days a week up leading out, coming out here. And I played 2.5 practice rounds this week. And I said to my caddy after I hit 100 balls perfect yesterday on the range, I said, we're way too prepared. This is not going to go well. And I was on the course. And so I played pretty well, but a couple of my swings were nervy, and that's why I shot the score I did.
What was that like when they announced you on the first tee?
You can't as a teacher, you always want to prepare your students for these scenarios. You can't do it without that experience. I'm always an experience-based teacher. And when they announced my name, I took two deep breaths. I probably said two Hail Marys, and I aimed 30 yards more right because I knew I was just going to pull hook it, and I actually hit it pretty solid just into the left side of the rough, just missing the fairway. And all things considered, is a pretty good drive.
But here you are on the driving range, and the only way I can relate to this is when I played in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. You're there with pros right next to you. And I have Nick Faldo right there next to me at the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. You're hitting with the other pros. Who were you next to on the driving range, and how surreal was that?
Monday when I got there, I was the first guy in the range, which was great because no one had to see what I was doing on my initial first couple shots on the range. And then Rory shows up. I'm like, that's nice. We see him bomb the ball. Wednesday was the coolest. After I got done with my nine holes, I go to the far right range again. And then just Brooks walks up right next to me, parks his bag down. And then Spieth, two on the other side of me, parks his bag down. I look at my guys. I'm like, what the heck is that? And I'll be honest, yesterday I was next to Sung J.M. And I'm not trying to sound confident, but I probably hit it way better than him on the range. I mean, I was like, stripe show. And then when I got the golf course, it was not there.
That's what happens. I'm really good on the range.
Exactly.
It's just that long walk. It's a short walk usually from the range to that first tee, but boy, it's a long distance away from being on the range.
Well, even a funnier story is I was finishing up my practice yesterday on the chipping green, and I look up and Phil Mickelson is directly across from me chipping to the same flag. So I turn to my guys. I'm like, you have to take a picture of this. As I get back over the ball, I then blade one right at him. And he's like, thank God I moved. I'm like, yeah, you got to watch out around here. And he says, stay safe out there. And I said, no, I'm fine. You're the one in danger. He's looking at, and my captain says to him, that was with the Phil Mickelson grind Callaway wedge. And he turns around. He's like, no, it wasn't. So we had a good laugh. He came back over in the putting green to talk to us before I teed off. So that was really cool.
And all you want to do is get through unscathed. You know, you're not winning, but in your mind, you want to compete, but you just don't want to embarrass yourself. And here you are trying to be cool, and you nearly take out Phil Mickelson.
I sculled one into Rory on Monday. So if I could somehow see Tiger today, I'll probably purposely blade one towards him to say I got all three.
What was the shot that you took away from the first round where you went, that's pretty damn good?
18 was the shot I got on ESPN. Scott Van Pelt was announcing me. I had all my buddies send it to me. I had to hit a good drive that just didn't clear the rough on the left side of the ravine. I had to kind of hack it out. I had 55 yards in, and the pin was tucked just over the left bunker. And I actually just put in a 64-degree wedge this week because of the rough and the bunkers. And for me, if I take a pretty full swing at it, I can hit it about 55. And I hit it about 55 yards and 8 inches. I mean, I stuffed it right in there. So that was really cool. And actually, I was only two over on the front. That was my first nine. So I was kind of in the flow of the round until I got to 5 and 6, where I made a double and a bogey, and that's where the score got a little higher.
He's Alex Knoll. He is from Eastern Pennsylvania. He's a high school math teacher, led the team to the district championship, first time in, what, the 100-plus years of the school?
Yeah, it was awesome. There was no – golf was the only sport in the school that didn't have a banner. And I said to my buddy, who's the AD, I said, within 5 years, you have to get one up there. We got it in our fourth year.
Would you rather win a state championship for your golf team or make the cut at the PGA Championship?
Make the cut every single time.
Okay. All right. I thought you were going to be, you're a teacher and, you know, it's always about the kids. And nope, it's about you.
It's all about me this week. Absolutely.
Will you walk over? Will you see Tiger? Did you see Tiger at all?
Yeah, I walked by him on the range yesterday. I actually putted to the same hole as his on Tuesday. We're in the same wave, so I'll see him at some point later today as he's warming up. Yeah.
But does he say anything to you on the putting green?
Because he has his AirPods in. He's listening to something.
Oh, okay. So
I went up to him and said, the rough's really heavy. He kind of looked up to the side of the glance. He's like, yeah, it is, and then went back to his routine. He did take his AirPods out for Brooks Koepka. So I think if I was a little bit better in the world ranking, he would talk to me.
And you're carrying the Callaway bag there and flying the colors there. We love that.
Absolutely. They've been awesome to me. It's been great. I've been on some of their podcasts. Phil saw that too. That's why he came back over. It's been absolutely dream week. As I keep saying, every day is better than before. Even though I shot a little worse than I would have liked, it still was incredible. And I acquitted myself. Well, I didn't shoot 100 out there. I just shot 7 over, so it wasn't terrible.
And you're going to tee off at around, 5:45 our time, East Coast time?
Yes, 5:42 East Coast.
5:42.
Yes.
So hopefully they'll have you in the coverage there. Do something incredible, will you, Alex? Can you do something so we can, don't break a club or anything like that?
Well, no, I'll just push down in my driver.
DeChambeau did yesterday, breaking the head of his driver. That was crazy. Hey, it's a great story. And hopefully you have some great memories there. And don't screw up today on the driving range or the putting green, okay?
I'll try not to. I want to keep those guys safe. But I was thinking, if I just took out 10 of them, my chances get a little bit better.
Thank you, Alex. We appreciate your time. Good luck. That's great. Alex Knoll, K-N-O-L-L, and math teacher, the high school golf coach. And all of a sudden, you go to a website, you click on, you go, I'm playing in the PGA Championship. And this is a public course, Harding Park. But it is a difficult course. Even if he's a PGA professional, but that doesn't mean he plays a lot of golf. He teaches. Most of your teachers don't play a lot of golf. And it's not like he's traveling around the country playing in these events here. He didn't even get to. But that's a pretty cool story there. Yeah, Paul.
He might be one of our better golf interviews. The guy's a star.
Yeah.
He's like a Chris Farley.
He looked like Kevin James a little bit. He looked a little bit like King of Queens there. A little bit. Yeah, see.
I love it because he's just such a, like, everyman.
Yeah. Well, he is.
You know? Yeah.
And that's what's great about the PGA Championship. You have PGA pros who get to play with these guys. Great story there.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I think the Bosas and the Gronks could get together and you wouldn't be able to tell them apart. Like Joey Bosa feels like he could fit right in with the Gronks. But if you're going to hang, like, who's more bro-ish? The Bosas or the Gronkowskis? Like, it feels like a fight could break out at any moment with the Gronkowskis. I think the Bosas might be more chill. Yeah, McLovin.
Where do the Watt brothers fit in that group?
Okay, if we had, you could pick two brothers, and you have to go into the octagon. So I got both Bosas. I got both Watt brothers. You got another one in there, too. So TJ and JJ.
They have a fullback in that family, yeah, right? Those guys are tough.
But Derek can't go in because I can only have two brothers that go in because there are only two Bosas. Unless their dad goes in. He's a former first-round pick, I think, for the Dolphins. And then you got the Gronkowskis. that feels like a reality show right there. Yeah, Paul.
With the Gronkowski brothers, you're going to get hit in the groin a lot. With the Bosa brothers, you're probably going to go like Jeep shopping. Like they'll go out Jeep shopping together, buy bigger Jeeps. The Watt brothers, you're probably going to go to a charity event and then eat a nice, healthy meal.
Yeah, see. He's
off the fields. We're good-ass dudes.
Good-ass dudes.
When JJ had his speech there?
Good-ass dudes.
Do we have the audio of that? And off the field, we're good-ass dudes. Like, okay. Yes, McLovin.
I've seen some lists that are putting T.J. Watt in the upper echelon of NFL players.
Yeah, he's going to get paid.
So is he like the new J.J.?
He might be better than his brother right now. He might be. Don't tell J.J. I said that. Did you see where it came out that Russell Wilson Jr. III referred to himself as Mr. Unlimited a couple of years ago?
What does that mean?
That he can do everything. It's limitless. Total confidence. Mr. Unlimited. Trevor in the Midwest, it says. Marvin put up Trevor from the Midwest. Hi, Trevor.
Hey, bud.
Hey.
So, 200 pounds, 6'1". Got a quick story for you.
All right.
So, I got a cousin who's an offensive lineman on a team here in the Midwest. And he told me from the get-go when COVID started that they had never stopped working out the whole time. So, we had there was an industrial area in our city where they came in and used an abandoned warehouse. And they brought in workout equipment.
Yeah.
And they did teams of 12 with personal trainers that were hush-hush to go work them out. And then there was also a couple locations in the city here where they worked out on the field, out in the open. They just didn't wear any team colors. And he confirmed for me multiple times that that was going on ever since COVID started, and they never stopped. So, I mean, I don't know. That's making me think that with this whole Michigan-Ohio State deal, it's like everybody was doing it. And whoever's going to get caught and got pictures taken, they're going to get the fingers pointed at them. But, I mean, I think everybody has to be doing it to stay competitive, you know. They can't let their guys fall off. Lifting weights for that many months.
Can I buy spotted cow in your state?
I don't know, Dan.
I think Trevor from Wisconsin is probably joining us on the program. But thank you, Trevor. And I do love spotted cow. Nice little beer that you can only get in Wisconsin. Let me see. What else do we have here? George in Ohio. Hi, George. What do you have for me?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, you were talking about names. My mother and grandmother were still alive. They'd be calling me Georgie. Yeah. Always calling me Georgie.
Yeah. I was Danny for a long time with my mom.
Yeah. And I had a nickname in high school. My last name is Blue, so I was Vida. You remember Vida Blue?
Yeah, with the Oakland A's, San Francisco Giants. Loved Vida Blue.
Yeah, went through all high school, Vita Blue.
Yeah.
Hey, and kind of responding to the poll question, I was wondering, what do you think is better for the game? If the Lakers win, the Clippers win, I mean, is it so many LeBron fans that would be okay? Or what do you think? It's like the early 90s. The Phoenix Suns are really good. And the Utah Jazz certainly deserved a championship. But Jordan won, was it, you know, I guess that's two questions. Isn't it? What do you think is better?
All right. Thank you, Georgie. Ask, answer, ask. It's one of my pet peeves, right,
know
Todd?
About that.
Right, Todd?
Yeah.
One of my pet peeves. You ask a question, then you answer the question, then you ask the question.
I thought it was lovely the way he posed that. But
thank you. I'm sure you did. Probably better for the NBA that the Lakers win a title. Because people will talk about it, what it means. Like if the Clippers win, you'll go, wow, that, you know, great story with Kawhi. The Lakers and LeBron, he's so polarizing to people that if he wins another, now he's got four and he won a title on three different teams. And I don't know. It feels like that's a story that people will run with for a while. If you had the Milwaukee Bucks win, it would be a great story. You know, that they win one, you know, first time since they had Kareem and Oscar Robertson. If Toronto won again, I mean, they're nice stories, but a story that is larger than the actual NBA would be LeBron winning a title. Here is J.J. Watt with, do you have this with, yeah, Paulie.
So it's J.J. Watt from Hard Knocks about 5 years ago, and then us adding to what J.J.
Okay.
Right.
Last night.
Hey, the philosophy of this squad is off the field, we're good-ass dudes. We're nice guys, we do the right thing. On the field, when you step on the field, you're the baddest on the planet. And together, we're the baddest team on the planet. And that's the way we're going to attack every day. I don't care who walks into our building. I don't care whose building we walk into. We're the baddest out there. Texans on three. 1, 2, 3, Texans!
It loses a little bit when you hear grown men going, wee, wee. It's like you're on a roller coaster.
With your kid on swings. Woo!
Yeah. Off the field, we're good dudes. Yeah, Paul.
We're going to help old effing ladies across the street. We're going to look both ways at the crosswalk like nobody's business. We're going to pay our taxes on time.
And we're going to effing stop at a stop sign. No rolling through that. You hear me?
We're going to have a nutritious, balanced diet like nobody's effing business.
We're going to have 3 effing square meals a day.
We're going to children's hospitals.
Going to church. And we're buying Girl Scout cookies. You effing hear me?
8 effing hours sleep. Get him. Let's get him.
Yeah. Whee! We're going to effing call our moms. Not exactly the motivational speech that's going to get me ready for battle. Oh, man.
Oh, that's great.
Texans on 3. 1, 2, 3, Texans. We played that for J.J. Watt at the Super Bowl. That was like 4 months later. We're like, you know, we should play this for you just to let you know. All right, we'll take a break. Last call for phone calls, what we learn, what's in store tomorrow, and we will join McLovin in enjoying some wings during this live look-in on the Traeger Grill. Yes, Todd?
Our wings are like 18 minutes colder than McLovin, so not really.
You know what? They just got 20 more minutes colder because you'll wait until noon.
What is
that
about?
You're going to sass me here?
Back row crime, I just pulled. I try to pull off there.
You're going to sass me a little bit here.
A little bit.
And you don't know how to...
I wasn't sassing you. That was a little shot at my friend here that he had a head start on.
But you said that they're cold, and now you're going to get them later, and now you're going to get them even later than that, Todd. And you would have no idea how to heat these things up anyway.
No clue. You throw it in a microwave? Is that the way to go?
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.